Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. The 254 says, I know you guys can't say it on air because Jerry Jones is your boss, but his ego is the problem. I've said much stronger things about Jerry Jones. He's not our boss.
He's not our boss.
He empowers us to give strong opinions. He understands media and says, yeah. You know, the criticism just comes with the territory. So
yeah.
He is actually the easiest professional sports partner I've ever worked for in my 27 years in radio.
When I worked for the man over there at DallasCowboys.com, I sat there for 3 years in his building, him giving me a check every 2 weeks, trying to fire his head coach.
Yeah.
Not one time did Jerry Jones walk up to me and say, stop it. Not Charlotte Jones, Jerry Jr., Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones. Nobody in 3 years of trying to fire Jason Garrett ever came up to me on his platform.
Yeah.
On his DallasCowboys.com. If you think that he really is that way and we can't say things because he's our boss and all that, you are so full of you know what.
Yeah.
Yeah, he embraces it, man.
It's the biggest lie ever told.
He absolutely, like I told you, one time he walked up to me and says, you are kicking my ass. And this is working at .com. He goes, you are kicking my ass, but you're fair about it.
Right on.
And that's Jerry Jones in a nutshell right there.
And with that, it's time now for a daily football fix. And here's Woolchuck. Get y'all fixed up.
Let's do it. Let's get our fix.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side! Left side! Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use Sticky these keys? For? Intimidation.
You know I gotta get my fix, man.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
All righty. It appears Jim Schwartz is going to interview with the Cleveland Browns for their head coaching job tomorrow.
Lucky.
He'll probably get it.
Look-see. Now, all of the dog pound is trying to get Harbaugh. Now, I don't think anyone else, I mean, everyone really does want Harbaugh, but they're trying to link it to
that would be a great hire.
At one point, he said he grew up a Browns fan.
Yeah.
His parents are from Ohio.
Yeah.
They're trying to put all the connections possible to try and get Harbaugh to Cleveland. Maybe it happens, but the Giants are all in. According to SNY's Connor Hughes, they are all in on Harbaugh for their search. Now, they wined and dined. They had dinner with Stefanski last night. Speaking of the Browns, their former coach. They're also going to visit with him a little bit more today, but then they are expected to interview Harbaugh.
Trying to talk him into being the OC for Harbaugh.
By all in, do they mean we'll do whatever it takes?
That's what they're doing.
Do they have a Cowboys definition of all in? Like, if it's the right price, we're all in.
And I think that they probably are more, we're going to do whatever it takes.
Austin, just assume it's something different.
Okay.
It's probably something different.
They're in a league of their own. Now, the Falcons also are a team that's going to be increasingly interested and aggressive as well, was the quote on one Harbaugh. I mean, I think every single team right now, even some like Miami, we're hearing with head
Dallas
coach Mike McDonald or whatever the heck his name is.
McDaniels.
Mike McDonald's is in the McDaniel McDonald. He had a farm and he's in Seattle.
Well,
Miami's kicking the tires here.
Of course. And Miami hasn't come out with the official team statement of McDaniels coming back. Right? So that's one that's one little nugget right there.
You think
there.
He would even know if he was coming back?
No.
Well, he thinks he's part of the GM search, as we talked about yesterday, but apparently he's not, according to our South Beach insider, Eric Chiafalo.
Well, no, he's not directly involved in the interviews of the GMs and stuff like that. But when a guy like Harbaugh comes available, you're insane not to give him a call.
100%.
So now you'd have to overpay by miles, I would imagine. Like, why would you want to go to the Dolphins?
And
that's
Steven,
a disaster class.
Steven Ross, like a billionaire
guy.
Oh,
yeah. He can afford it. And he's got the Harbaugh ties with Jim and the Michigan stuff.
Yeah.
So
Jim.
I'm sure, but like, and I think the Harbaugh contract will be fat anyways. Like, I can't wait to see what that deal looks like because he's clearly the one seemingly home run hire right now, right? Among all these head coaches.
Absolutely.
So wherever,
63 years old, we
he's
said?
He's the Vrabel of this year's hiring process.
Yeah, so like his contract's going to be insane, but for him to want to go to the Dolphins where they're still having to pay Tua, they're just a total dumpster dumpster organization.
It's
yeah,
the challenge.
It's the challenge. Oh, the challenge. I don't know.
It's rebuild the Dolphins.
Yeah,
Earl Morrill dropping back.
Look, he might end up with the Giants now. I was
Bob
listening.
Greasy's hurt this week. We got Earl Morrill winning games.
I mean, if he does end up with the Giants, I think the silver lining is there will be a new king of meaningless regular season victories in the division.
Okay, and I
How
hope
about
you're
that.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that. Sucking on the John Harbaugh teat, firing at Shoddy, worshiping Harbaugh.
We're gonna win every preseason game. That guy does that.
Does this make you a little bit more nervous? As I was toloing this morning, listening to Sean Sharif, and he was going through who could this other seventh team be that called Harbaugh. Now we know it's probably the Dolphins.
What team you talking about?
But Sean had a theory that I think actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
rubbing those small hands together.
What happens with the Eagles? Do they decide Nick Sirianni, if they go out in flames against San Francisco, which I predict they will, do they say,
I like
you know
what Sean's doing right now.
You know what, Harbaugh? You were here. You were our special teams coach.
We brought
Howie
him.
Roseman,
yeah, we
brought good him. Good relationship. Worked together for many years.
Yeah.
You kick Sirianni out, you bring Harbaugh into filthy.
It would be an upgrade.
So the Giants and the Eagles, maybe we got to watch out for him within the division.
Yeah, I can see that 100%, for sure.
It made a lot of sense. I was like, dude, Sean, I could see this happening. You were on to
something. Sean just came up on his own?
Yeah, he's smart.
He is smart.
He does a lot.
Yeah, and you've seen Howie Roseman.
I like what he's doing there.
I think that was really good thinking. I was like, damn, dude, I could see that happening. Because they're all, I mean, it's Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. They're trying to just kick those two to the curb. Now, you saw Tanner McKee play against Washington. Yeah. I think Eagle fans got a dose of like, ooh, maybe Jalen Hurts ain't
we
that
We saw
bad.
That at Stanford when we watched him play.
Yeah, that terrible unless he's playing the Cowboys in the season finale.
That's anybody.
Or really anybody. Yeah.
But, I mean, Howie Roseman, aggressive, move, like pays Carson Wentz, moves off him real quick. You could see this happening for sure.
No doubt. Now, another name to consider, Albert Breer, who we do enjoy. And he is an Ohio State guy, so he is privy to some
is Ohio
information.
State, yeah.
Sports. Illustrated insider, got to talk with him at the Super Bowl, super nice dude. In his mailbag segment, he was asked about names that he's heard that are in the mix for the Cowboys DC job. He replied, I think they kicked the tires on Brian Flores and Matt Patricia. Brian Schottenheimer's dealt with the Patriot family of defenses plenty over the years. The availability of Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich is intriguing as well, considering their ties to Dan Quinn. But he is now in two separate areas, just throwing out Matt Patricia's name. I don't know.
That's surprising because I think that he really liked Matt Patricia being the defensive coordinator. And the fact that he's throwing his name out there tells me that he's actually hearing something.
And I'm with you. Like, Albert probably is hearing something. I have been kind of out on the Patricia idea for the only reason of I don't know how to judge how good he really has been at Ohio State because the talent's so damn awesome there.
Yeah.
Like, has that uplifted him? Much like Chip Kelly. He had
tons
of talent.
I don't know, man. We enjoy watching that film, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Then and I think, I mean, the Miami game, though, did that make you feel a little bit differently? I thought they were going to dominate, and they kind of got bullied a little bit outside of Caleb Downs. He played well. But, yes, I mean, I'd be interested in Patricia. But I think there's some other names that I would definitely have on my personal wish list before we got to him. And we can't even call him Fat Patricia anymore. Did he put it back on?
He's good.
During the season, it can happen. You can get away from
it. He looks fine.
Stress eating.
Yeah.
Tell me
Late
about
nights.
It.
Probably wasn't stressing too hard
That's
with that
Buckeye
defense.
That's why these coaches wear hoodies when it's like 105
As
in the early
should.
Season game.
As they should. Yeah. Teams just do weird things, though, with their interviews. Like Matt Nagy's getting three different head coaching interviews with the Titans, the Raiders, and the Cardinals. Why?
Bill Walsh said this very poignantly. He said there's only six teams you have to worry about.
I think you want to
because everyone else is stupid.
Yeah.
Well, you
yeah.
want to bring in coaches from great organizations to see what tea they'll spill to you. You
okay.
know?
Okay.
See if you can get yourself educated.
I can get in on that idea
under the guise of an interview.
That makes a lot of sense because he was bad in Chicago and he really has not done well
Dawson,
in helping
you're
Andy Reid.
Something I used to do it all the time. I brought this broadest guy in. He told me everything. He told me about Randall. All these guys. It was an incredible interview.
You also have the what not to do interviews, right? Where you just want to like everything that you say. I just want to make sure I'm doing the exact opposite of
genius.
Yep. So that'll happen from time to time.
Absolutely. That very well could be the what not to do interview, having Nagy get in there. All right, let's
what not to do interview.
Let's go to Bobby Wagner.
That's a real man.
It's like, who would you hire, a coach, as your assistant? Like, make a note, none of these guys.
Yeah, I want none of these guys.
None of these guys.
These guys. None of them. Get out of here. All right, hold on. I'll save Bobby Wagner for the mix bags. This is going to be an audio clip, and we're up against it. Let's get to Jordan Reed's mock draft. I saved this from yesterday because it's a hump day, and I love a good hump day mock.
Mm.
Vegas, Fernando Mendoza, not a shocker. Quarterbacks go 1-2 in this. Dante Moore goes 2 to the Jets, the Oregon quarterback. We go down to the Cowboys pick here at number 12.
Number 12.
He's got Sonny Styles, the linebacker from Ohio State.
Mm.
You did not have Caleb Downs on the board. You did not have Spencer Fano from Utah, the offensive tackle. Reuben Bain was gone from Miami. David Bailey was gone from Texas Tech.
We got wiped out.
Arvell Reese was gone. So, yes, in this scenario, totally cool with Sonny Styles, the pick there.
Can you give me three or after the pick was made?
Keldrick Falk was available from Auburn.
That was a no.
Lemon went, the wide receiver from USC.
He's a first-round receiver.
And Peter Woods, the defensive tackle from Clemson.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm not happy with anybody other than Lemon there.
The guy I would have considered would have been Mansoor Delay in the corner from your LSU Tigers.
Let's go.
And I love him. I probably would have taken him at 12 over Styles.
You would take him over McCoy from Tennessee, wouldn't you?
No, I've... Geez, they're so close to me.
I get to talk about this tomorrow.
I've got McCoy graded a little higher.
Okay.
As the number one guy, but I love Delane. I think Delane's really, really good.
Dawson, you like Delane a lot, right? That's your guy?
Yeah, I like all three of these guys.
Yeah Delane, yeah. I'd be in on. Now, the Cowboys...
It's cool that none of them are getting taken in the top 10 in a lot of these mocks. Like, no. I think you'll have your pick a corner at 12, at least so far.
Well, how about this? He's got the Packers winning in the first round, so we end up getting the 25th pick in the first round from Green Bay. The Cowboys, do I say we? Because I'm drafting with them. Jermaine McCoy, the corner from Tennessee.
Okay.
Last, because teams are worried about the ACL tear, and
that's
he goes
nothing.
To the Cowboys at 25.
I mean, if your doctors look at it and they're like, yeah, we got serious questions, but an ACL is fairly routine repair.
Well, it's been a year now.
Yeah, just
I think he could have played. Like, I think he could have played this year if Tennessee was better, if they had been competing for the playoffs. So I'm not as worried about it either.
I mean, there are ACL complications that happen, but I would just say the odds of it happening back-to-back to you on corners – and the guy having a training camp re-aggravation of it, pretty low. And McCoy is awesome, dude. Rare that you get a guy that's got ball skills, coverage skills, and he's also a certified dog.
Really?
Like, he's going to be one of your most physical players.
Damn, Dawson scouting him up.
Just an absolute stud. Finally, as we close down the fix, thoughts and prayers with former Texas Longhorn and NFL wide receiver Jordan Shipley. He was hospitalized with severe burns from an accident at the ranch. Gavin, I think during a break you actually brought this to our attention.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on with Shipley here? You know, 20% of burns all over his body. Hopefully his face is okay. I'm sorry. Is that inappropriate? But that's what I'm thinking.
Because he was a good-looking guy?
Well, 20%, you know, if you got burns on your body, you can recover from that.
You can hide some of those things.
You know, but you get burns to your face.
Look like Nicky Lauda.
You got to go full Deadpool now.
Yeah.
You do.
I mean, you can make something of this.
Just wear the suit.
There's a track record.
But so he was on some piece of equipment, like a big tractor,
yeah,
and couldn't get off until he caught him on fire.
Yep,
huh?
Yep. And then he was driven to a local hospital there with Austin. He was on a medical transport flight. They actually had to fly him there to that
hospital.
Yeah,
ranch hand takes him to the hospital. They're like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
What did you say, Chief?
I just got lost in the sauce for a second. I thought we were having fun, and I forgot this was a very serious
story.
Deadpool.
Well,
sorry.
We can have fun with it, but, I mean, the guy is supposed to be in stable condition, so it's not life-threatening.
No, for sure. For sure, but
so bring the
easy
fun
to
on.
Say if it's not your face, you know?
Yeah. The Deadpool smashed.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
I hate you.
Is that what started with Deadpool?
Yeah, it just brought us, gave me the look, and then I realized, oh, yeah, like this is actually a serious story.
Yeah, we got to be sensitive.
Let me chill a little bit.
Yeah, dude, come on.
All right, we got more sports here on the way. Yeah, we do. The most interesting thing Stephen Jones had to say and how it impacts their draft plans. That's coming up next year. G-Back Nation, the fan.
All right.
All right, welcome back, Nation. Some of the most interesting things said at today's Cowboys press conference. We'll look at what Steve said about the coaches and the players coming in and how that might impact draft plans. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
Yeah, when talking about the coaches in the draft, they said they need coaches and players, this was Steven, ready to make an improvement immediately. So I think that's interesting. Number one, you don't want a defensive coordinator that's going to significantly change your scheme from where your talent is aligned right now. But also, Steven spoke specifically about players and needing players to come in and make an impact immediately. Does that eliminate like traitsy guys that have a higher ceiling? Is it this higher floor players that are ready to come in and help you immediately? You know, no, not, and you know, at 12, that's a no-brainer. But I think at 20 or 25 with the Packers pick, that could become a factor. Like, you don't want to take another tackle who you feel like, yeah, he might be ready to go by the time we're in year two.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would be now, you know, those second-round guys they've ended up taking chances on, like Kelvin Joseph, you know, maybe the Randy Gregories that have come with some baggage over the years. Maybe they take a second look at that and say, like, you know what, that's burned us before. So now that's why, and this might be some influence that Brian Schottenheimer's had. And the other buzzword that we had last offseason from Will was guys that love football.
Yeah.
And they definitely drafted a lot of high-character guys. The one common thread with basically everybody in that draft class last year, team captains. Yeah. They were all team captains, leadership guys. So with Shoddy and the culture movement, I mean, everything's been about culture of buzzwords that I'm talking here. Maybe that's some element to it. And I do think you need a couple of guys on your roster that have a little bit of a screw loose at times. We're not trying to have an all choir boy type of team here.
Yeah.
But I also do understand if you're an organization that's kind of looked the other way in the past and you've been burned by those guys recently when taking said chances, maybe you've had enough of that.
Yeah, I want rugged and tough. I don't think you need unpredictable and lacking impulse control. Like, I think that gets you in trouble too often in pre-snap penalties, in unnecessary roughness type situations, you know? So I want the toughness. I don't think you have to sacrifice in order to get that. Do you guys feel like Sonny Styles, who is the most mocked player to the Cowboys this week at 12, is ready to go out of the box year one?
You know, it's funny, Dawson, I was going to ask you a question. Have you seen Howell from A&M?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Wolchek, I'm going to ask you guys this question then. If you had a choice between Howell and Bailey, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, who's the most ready to rush the passer?
I think it's Bailey.
I think Bailey.
Yeah, I think he and he's more ready to stay on the field. I think Howell right now is going to come out, and in situations, he's going to go get to the quarterback on third and long. But if it's not third and long, I don't know if he's – I think he needs to add, like, play strength, lower half.
I kind of felt like that if you asked me it – I think Howell is more NFL ready
– just because he's so quick.
Than Bailey.
He's got something to win with
today.
Yeah,
I think, you know, if you're in a situation where you're, like, thinking, okay – to Stephen Jones' point, we need guys that need to play now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the clear upside is Bailey from Tech. The clear, like, you know, the old floor, ceiling, whatever that, you know, we all talk. The ceiling for that guy seems really, really, really high, you know? But I kind of feel like, though, if you're in a situation, now think about this. If you're in a situation where, again, you can't fix everything on defense, at least for this draft here, do you need the more ready guy?
I think so. Yeah,
and that might be what Steven's saying. Yeah. And I wonder, okay, is there another guy? Because to me, I think Bailey's really good.
Yeah, you're talking about two guys that have both been highly productive.
Yeah,
you're not talking about a 1 year like Romello Hyde 1 year production.
Right,
right. These two guys over the course of their career, very productive. Whether it was Howell from Bowling Green, I mean, that dude was an All-MAC player and had a bunch of production there. I think Howell actually is the better all-around player.
Yeah.
In terms of pressure and being able to play run defense, I think David Bailey's the better just pure rusher.
That's what I'm saying. I wonder if Steven is telling us that we need Howells, and even though Bailey's a great player, I'm not trying to say folks there in Lubbock. I think Bailey, he's a first-round grade for me. No problem with him. But I wonder if Howell overall, as you said, is more ready to play right now. Plug in, go play.
Is that run defense stuff you're talking
about?
Yeah,
it's the run defense. I think Howell's a better run defender right now than what Bailey is. But I think Bailey, in terms of just who gets after the quarterback, I'd take Bailey.
I don't think Hal has enough weight to set the edge properly. 245. I think he's going to get bullied by tackles.
Yeah, you watch Notre Dame handled him pretty good. LSU didn't. You know, I'm watching him play against LSU.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
he
going,
smoked those guys.
I'm going,
he stepped
what
up and had a huge play at the goal line against Notre Dame late in that football game where he just knifes through the guard and tackle.
Right. I mean, how'd he do versus Miami in that playoff game? Those are real NFL tackles.
I haven't
going up
seen
against.
The Miami game on tape. I need to get
it
that one up.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
But Hal has a way of reading the blocker and attacking the outside arm while throwing a juke at the same time.
Sure.
That makes him win not only with the quickness, but with his hands and with his – he's got like jukes almost like he's a basketball player or a soccer player trying to set guys up to sneak around him when he gets them wrong-footed, essentially, to use a soccer term. Steve also mentioned team needs. He mentioned linebacker first and then went to secondary. And when he came back around to edge, dude, he was talking about bringing back Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
I know.
Could you imagine them not making a significant investment at edge?
No, I wouldn't be able to stomach it. I can't even fathom that being the case.
I have a feeling that the best player on the board at 12 is going to be an edge.
Could be, especially if
unless they think that Delane, I bet you they have Delane over McCoy. The LSU over Tennessee.
And Hal's one of these guys that if he gets knocked Delane for the short 12, arms, man. I don't know that they're going to even like Hal.
Yeah.
I mean, they're big on the measurables. They really are.
How about just watch the damn tape?
I agree with you 100%. That's why I fight for the tiny DBs.
Yeah.
He is a menace out there.
Yeah.
He's going to bring it. I think he's going to be a tone setter. Either one of those players I'd be happy with. I do wonder, though, because of the size, you mentioned the arms, if Hal might be available with the Packers pick.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. I kind of wonder, because to me, I'm looking at these defensive ends hard. It's to me, if you do nothing in free agency, if you just play big zero like they have the last several years, I'm looking at a corner and I'm looking at an edge. And maybe with that second pick, I'm thinking about one of those linebackers, if that's the case. Because now I've kind of painted myself into a corner. I'm going to need defensive players.
Yeah.
I can't look at Malanoa. I can't look at any of these. I can't look at Fanoa. I can't look at any of these tackles, you know. And it's a shame that I can't do that because if I don't play in free agency, I've got to use those two picks on defensive players. I got nothing else.
So if he says linebacker first and your first pick is at 12 and Sonny Styles is on the board there, do you think he will be there? Or is Styles more likely to get taken in the top 10 or slip outside the top 20?
I kind of feel like that initially I felt like that Styles was undervalued by media scouts.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling what's going to happen. He's going to be in that range where I think that it's going to be close.
I love Styles. I think he's going to end up being a tremendous pro. I think that he's kind of
Ohio State linebacker.
Ohio State. I mean, he's only in the second year playing the position, converted safety, freak athlete. I'm a big fan of his game. I think his best football is ahead of him. And you saw, I mean, John talked about it as well, but you can see from week one against Texas to all the way to the playoff game, like the growth throughout the year, fighting off blocks, understanding he's got a knack for blitzing and getting to the quarterback, great coverage guy, which I think is really important as well, a guy that can be a three-down player, doesn't have to come off the field. I do like Styles a lot.
I think he's going to be – I think it's going to be close, Dawson. I think he might be inside that window. Like, I think NFL scouts, media scouts are going to catch up on Styles. I think media scouts had him undervalued, and they're going to start. They're going to go to the combine. They're going to go to the Senior Bowl. They're going to go to these, you know, and they're going and the guys, the McShays and those guys are all going to start hearing Styles' name, and it's going to be in that top 12.
Shoddy did spell out who he sees as the leaders on the defensive side, 92, 95, 97, so your three defensive tackles and number zero. Yeah. And I think that's a decent foundation from which to build on.
And that's why you're probably not going to look at any defensive tackles.
Yeah.
You're going to have to – it's going to be edges, corners, linebackers, and maybe you might get lucky on a safety.
All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Wolchuk. Mixed bag time?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get a little puck action for you. We'll talk about our Dallas Stars. And have you ever watched a movie with no sound? That's next in the Nation.
All righty. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Football's finest is coming up at 5 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys. It's time now for Wolchuk's Mixed Bag. curious to mix it up with you.
All right, so we've got a little bit of an insider off going on between Shefty and Rappaport on what really is going down in Baltimore when it comes to one John Harbaugh. So yesterday, immediately after the firing, you had rap sheets saying that the players had quit on John Harbaugh. He had lost the locker room, and that a lot of players in the building did no longer wanted to play for him. Well, you have Shefty on Pat McAfee saying that, I don't think that information about John Harbaugh is true. I think that that information right there couldn't be any less true. The players were coming into his office crying, hugging him, sending him goodbyes, calling him one by one. If they felt that way, why are Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely and all these players coming in crying, hugging him, giving him these long, warm goodbyes? I'm not buying that. So who's right? Who's wrong? Is it Rap Sheet or is it the Shefty?
I think in this situation, usually both parties are right, and there's just so many people in an organization, a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah, I think that probably Lamar Jackson is like, I'm out. I'm good here. I don't want to be playing for this guy anymore. He's trying to force this offensive coordinator on me and Todd Monken that I'm really not interested in.
Yeah.
I'm good. But maybe other players, like the ones that Shefty listed here, are, yeah, we love you. You've been here for our entire career.
You helped get me drafted. You've helped me be successful.
You're our guy.
So. I mean, he's very likable.
Absolutely.
Know, I think a lot of, but... But, you know, philosophically, I think for the quarterback, there's a more importance on what the scheme is, you know, for him. And, yes, I could definitely see like both parties being right.
All right. So a little puck talk here. Stars will be in action against Washington later tonight. Winless in their last six. They need to turn this thing around. It'll be Casey DeSmith in goal tonight. You will not have Petrovic. He will not be playing. But one thing that's very alarming is the play of one Thomas Harley. And he got paid just a couple of months ago, but he is 10th worst in the NHL in terms of giveaways. Shots are 39% down. Goals against when he's on the ice as a defenseman, 20th worst in the league. His zone entry defense has really fallen off. His exits with the puck are down to 20th worst in the NHL. Thomas Harley has just not been the guy that was really an ascending player and was so darn good in that playoff run, and I am getting a little bit nervous. Now, we were talking to the Hockey Hawk, Gavin Spittle, and Spitzy was saying, hey, maybe you pair him with somebody a little bit better, and that can help him. And I think Jim Neal needs to end up really being aggressive here as we get closer to the deadline. He made some great moves last year. I think he needs to make another move, and hopefully it could be for another defenseman to help out Thomas Harley, because you've got, you know, Miro, he's playing well right now, but Harley is really struggling, and if that's going to be something that moves forward into the second half of the season in the playoffs, the Stars aren't getting to a fourth straight conference final.
Yeah, it's definitely heading that direction, man. And I have faith that they're going to return to playing quality hockey. This is just like the slump they went on last April, March. You know, this happens as part of a long season with a veteran group.
It's crazy. They're still sitting here like second best team in the NHL, and definitely the second best team in the West from a record standpoint. It's just Colorado so darn good, and they're still winning games despite battling through some injuries are the Avs right now. But hopefully they can get off the schneid tonight, and Ovechkin and the Caps can take the L. Stars 25-10-8 still, because they were so awesome for the majority of the season. But this is certainly a slump they need to find a way to work themselves
out. This is the second night of a six-game trip, right?
Yep, six-game road trip.
Yeah, okay.
And, of course, a back-to-back after really got dominated last
year. Are we heading northeast here, or are we heading south? Are we doing this Florida thing?
You tell me. They went Carolina to Washington.
So north.
You know, I'm
the next thing you know, we're going to be with the Islanders and the Rangers and the Bruins.
Coming up
Flyers.
For the rest of the road trip.
Yeah, I wonder if they're heading north. I think they are.
I think they're moving and they're pushing here because they're going to be – well, no, they're actually going to go back west because it'll be San Jose, L.A., Anaheim, and they'll finish it off with the Utah Woolly Mammoths.
So wait a minute. Now they're playing in – Washington tonight,
and then they'll get several days off. Which
okay,
is good
God,
for
I thought they were throwing them right. Oh, two nights later, we're going to play in L.A.
They got their back-to-back here, then they'll be off until Saturday. They'll take on the Sharks in San Jose. Then Monday night, they'll be in L.A. against the Kings. They'll play another back-to-back. The following night, they'll be in Anaheim against the Ducks. And then they'll wrap it up a week from this Thursday in Utah. Then they'll come back home for two games.
Jeez.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a gauntlet here with this road trip coming up. And then, of course, you've got the Olympics right around the corner. The Stars will have a big representation going on there.
No Jason Robinson, though.
No, which is still crazy. I mean, he's got the most goals among any American players right now. I think he's got the most points among any American players right now. For him to not be in the on the U.S. team, it is pretty shocking. It really is.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Bobby Wagner. This is courtesy of Hard Knocks. And there was a clip here from Bobby about a movie that he watched with no sound. And 877-881-1053, I wonder if you have been part of this experience before. Here was Bobby's situation.
You seen The Martian, where he gets stuck in space? You know, that's the only movie I've watched with no sound. And I watched the whole movie.
You just had subtitles?
I have nothing, bro.
What?
I made up my own, like, just what I thought was going on.
Was the reason why you did that?
No. I was on an airplane, and you know how I missed the part where they said...
That makes sense why you lost me.
Pass you out the headphones. So what? I don't have the headphones that stick into the thing. So the lady next to me was, like, had just started the movie, so I was watching it, and I just saw crazy going on. And I low-key watched the whole movie. And it was interesting.
So in the 2 hours... Did you watch that movie? Did no flight attendant come ask you on some headphones?
Well, I don't know if she knew. I don't even think I was supposed to be watching the movie. It wasn't on my screen. It was somebody else's screen. So I didn't want to know. I didn't want her to know that I was looking at her screen. So I was just kind of like looking like this. But it was a good movie. And I've always said to myself, man, I need to watch that movie with sound. But then I was like, I don't want to ruin it because the movie good to me without sound.
So he loves The Martian with Matt Damon, which is a great movie. Uh-huh. And I think we've probably all had this moment where, like, you're seeing something
Martian's
on somebody
doable.
Else's screen,
yeah,
and you don't want them to know. Now you're watching, and you're kind of like, there's no subtitles, there's nothing, but I'd go back and probably rewatch it with sound. I think it's hilarious that he's like, I don't want to ruin it. I like it right now. The movie's good to me right now. I think it'd be good.
The audio production and score team is just like, wow,
damn dude. You.
I did this on road trips with Derek Eagleton sitting next to me. He was watching Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, so good. All-time great show.
Every week I watched, like, he would watch a couple episodes when we were traveling. Never one time listened to the sound. I didn't have headphones or anything, so I was just watching it. And then
pretty good action in that show.
You were
there for the eye candy anyways.
And, well, the very final episode, you know, the very final scene. And Derek looked at me like... You know what's going on. I'm like, I have an idea. I have a real good idea what's going on
Jax
here.
Jax is roughing somebody up.
Yeah,
and here comes Tig.
But I like one football season, Derek was watching that, and I just was kind of just peeking at it as we were traveling.
It's a great show.
Never asked, like, hey, could I plug in, that kind of thing. I never got it on my own pad either, which probably is
it's lazier than a cheesecake order.
I think it was very lazy of me to do that.
I watched a great silent film. Now, this was intentionally silent in film class my senior year of high school, The Seven Samurai. It's about this village of people that need to get trained up to be samurais to protect themselves from bandits.
Oh, starring Tom Cruise?
No, this was a different deal. This is like from the 1950s.
This is the first samurai, not the last.
Got it.
Long-ass movie, but it was quality content. I dug it. I think it's possible to make good movies without the sound.
No, The Artist, which was a silent film that won Best Picture several years ago, really the only movie that I've watched that was a silent film, but I enjoyed it. It actually was really, really good.
A Quiet Place.
Ooh, A Quiet Place
which is
fantastic.
Somewhat, you know, silent or whatever.
Yeah, no, it is.
That was all time for me. That was like one of my favorite theater experiences of all time.
So good. The sequel, it was okay.
Yeah, I didn't go for it.
But the first one was really, really good. And then they made another one with Joe Quinn. I didn't think it was great. It's kind of like a prequel, like with the first day that it happened.
Yeah.
I think Lupita Nyong'o was in it as well with him.
I've watched a little...
Is that the goalie in Vancouver?
No.
Like the
oh, that's long ago. I'm sorry.
Kornheiser and Wilbon, PTI. You're sitting in the sports bar. You're sitting in an airport or something. It's
you got kind of an idea what's going on there, don't you?
I used to love watching.
I'm watching Pat McAfee right now with no sound.
No sound.
They just had Shefty on. Yeah.
Lucius and I used to love Keeping Up with the Kardashians with the sound off.
That's the only way to watch it.
It's one of our favorites.
It's the only way to watch it.
You're right.
Let's just say we're talking like that the whole time.
Okay.
All right. Maybe my water and Kanye.
Oh, my God.
It was fantastic. It was my favorite way to watch it. It's the only way to do it. And we'll
Castaway. Castaway is almost like a silent movie in a sense. That was the last movie my father-in-law seen in the theaters. He's vowed to never go back to the movies, and I'll be damned. He has not been back to the movies.
Did he hate it or something, or he loved it so much he wanted that to be his terrible. Last?
Don't want to ruin the experience.
That's an yeah, I can't beat that, man. That's the top of the mountain.
That was it. I can't ever see another movie again. That's the last movie I'll ever watch. To wrap up the mixed bag here, shout out to Joe Buck. He shared on social media. He called
Snarky Joe Buck.
Entire
hey, we
game.
Like Joe Buck.
We do now.
Snarky Joe Buck.
I used to hate Joe. I used to call him a different name instead of Buck. But
Suck?
Something along those lines.
Troy Aikman going to come get you, bro. Yeah.
Duck.
But now I'm a fan. Now I'm a big fan of Joe.
I think Joe can handle himself, by the way. I saw him the other day at AT&T when I was doing the pregame part thing with you. And when I came down out of that elevator, he was cruising through back by the trucks. Dude's kind of jacked.
Yeah, he's been working out. He's been hitting the gym. And he's pretty tall.
It was Joe Cuck, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
I thought, I was like, is that Moose? Because my eyes are bad. I was like, who is that?
He's got some pretty legs.
Yeah.
He's
strong. Super Bowl fullback.
He's probably hitting it with Aikman, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, give him a little help.
Yeah. Shout out to Aikman and shout out to Eightbeard. But his 7-year-old twins, I guess they were fighting. He had to get in, break up a fight. One of them kneed him in the eye. Yeah. So he had a black eye, called the whole Seahawks 49ers game on Saturday night with it, took a picture of it, posted it on social. Looks pretty gnarly. But, hey, you got a couple of twin boys that are 7 years old. I can only imagine
they're going to get after
the type of crap that they're getting into.
I want to know what the aftermath of that was. There's no way that he took that black eye too kindly.
You think,
in the moment, you are pissed.
You're like, what do you do? Because you can't hit him back. Well, you could. You could.
It's just Joe swinging on his kids.
But you're just like, you just cover your eye and you get some peas and you're just like frustrated.
All right, that's that's it.
Just guilt trip him. Yourself.
Look what you did.
I think the dad's hurt.
The kid probably stopped, right? When dad's injured, like walked away with hand over eye, I mean, he's got to be, they got to stop, right?
They feel guilty.
Yeah.
I don't know. Depends on the kind of rage you have, man. When you're in that moment, it's like.
You guys all had brothers. What was it like?
I never hit my dad, you know? Like, even accidentally. That would have struck more fear into me than anything. But you try to take him down as a collective, right? Like, you're playing King of the Mountain or whatever.
Good-natured, but never with real hostility.
King of the Mountain.
I think that's part of the cost of doing business as a dad, though. You got to take those accidental errant shots to train your sons to be aggressive, to have them be killers.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Like, hey, like you don't stop until somebody rips you off of that other
Dawson
individual.
Got his kids pulling bricks in the backyard.
We know what Chia Fowler's kids are doing. Chia Fowler's kids are using the 410 rifles
in
the
like
back.
It's like that trend. You go up to the kids and you're like, hey, we're going to go fight. We're going to go fight the neighbors across the street. They got her 4-year-old. I need you to beat their ass.
Yep. Yeah, that happened.
Your kid's ready to go.
We're super up against it, but I got a Navy story that might go with this a little bit. Okay. We had two guys in our division that lived together. A lot of us, roommated together because we didn't want to live on the ship or whatever. And one of the dudes that, lived with him came to work with a black eye. I was like, man, what's going on? He said it was a bar fight. A couple of months later, he came in there with another black eye. Come to find out, it was domestic violence.
Oh, wow. Little Adam and Steve situation.
Adam and Steve.
It was having a couple fights, bro. Coming to work together.
It makes you wonder about Joe Buck.
That's what I said.
We got 3 hours down two to go in addition to the finest.
Yes, another candidate to replace Eberflus that no one is talking about. That is next in the nation.